It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday the 15th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. The Federal Communications Commission's big day is finally here for voting on new rules for how internet service providers deal with information. These new rules proposed by FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler leave open the possibility of fast lane deals, where companies could pay for their content to be delivered faster than others online. Many people are very worried at what that might mean for the internet as we know it. That includes Senator Al Franken, who we had on the show yesterday, and Tim Wu, the Columbia University professor who coined the term net neutrality, which he thinks is threatened by the FCC's new rules. But as the FCC prepares for its vote, we wanted to give another perspective. Christopher Yu is professor of law, communication, and computer and information science at the University of Pennsylvania. Christopher, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Are there advantages to having these so-called fast lanes?
The answer is pretty clearly yes. I mean, suppose that you had to send something from the East Coast to the West Coast. You at this point have a choice of overnight mail, bulk mail, and a whole bunch of other options, depending on how fast it has to get there. If you force everything to a single class of service, you would force people who would have been willing to take slower service to pay more. And you would deny people who wanted really fast service the ability to get it at any price.
But so far, we've basically had one speed of service, right?
We developed one speed of service in a world dominated by email and web browsing. If there were a 500 millisecond delay on an email arriving, most of us could hardly notice it.
Right.
A half second delay on a phone call renders the service unusable. And real-time communications have become really the lifeblood of the internet in a way that just weren't true even 5 or 10 years ago.
But isn't there a concern here about, you know, new companies that may come up with a service that requires them to pay for, you know, one of these fast lanes, but they couldn't afford it?
Many times, innovators are willing to pay for the fast lane. And if what you need is a stripped-down version where you don't need all the bells and whistles, you should be able to pay less. And if you need a very elaborate service that requires, you know, all these guarantees that other people don't need, you should probably expect to pay more.
Why not, as some have suggested, classify internet service providers as common carriers?
Many people think that the Federal Communications Commission has the authority to reclassify the internet as a common carrier. I don't believe that that's true, and that, in fact, recent Supreme Court decisions make it a relatively hard thing for the agency to accomplish. There's another problem. The common carriage regime has always acknowledged that providers can create different classes of service as long as they charge everyone who wants that class of service the same amount. So anyone would get access to the fast lane as long as they pay for it, but it wouldn't prevent internet service providers from creating a fast lane in the first place.
Christopher Yu is professor of law, communication, and computer and information science at the University of Pennsylvania. Christopher, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Today, the National September 11 Memorial and Museum opens to the public in downtown Manhattan. The museum has been a long time coming and at times has been a contentious project, in part because of different perspectives on the terrorist attacks. Projecting on one of the walls in the new museum is a kind of live feed of news articles and other information relating to the attacks from the day they occurred up to the present moment. And that feed is determined by an algorithm, sorting through millions of data points. Here's Jake Barton, the head of New York design firm Local Projects.
It's pulling out and clustering what we call event clusters, places where there's density across different themes that are important to 9/11.
So the algorithm is helping to, in a way, present information about the attacks and their historical impact with objectivity. Jeff Mano is editor-in-chief of Gizmodo and wrote about the exhibit. He says this application of an algorithm suggests new opportunities for how to curate.
It kind of shows this possible interpretive future for algorithms that exist outside just, say, high-frequency trading or Google search results, but that we might actually start finding in museums and actually doing the kind of dirty work of interpretation for us.
Jeff Mano of the website Gizmodo. I've never spent enough time on a submarine to need entertainment, but I've never been in the Navy either. And there's news that the submarine crews in this arm of the American military will be getting some new gadgets, e-readers. Definitely more compact than old school books, and these e-readers will not have the kind of connectivity vulnerable to hackers. At $3,000 a pop, though, they're not cheap. So are e-readers for submariners a good idea? Dan Bobkoff takes a look.
It has no internet connection. There's definitely no camera. Just about all you can do on it is read any of its 300 preloaded books.
It's a little funny to be rolling out a new tech product that's a couple generations behind.
Nelia Corrado is with the Navy General Library Program. Yes, this is an e-reader for a very niche market, bored sailors on submarines. They called it NERD for Navy e-reader device.
NERD definitely doesn't have the stigma it used to.
The NERD is made by an Ohio company called Findaway World. Ralph Lazaro is a VP there, and he says the staff purposely avoided bells and whistles. Instead, they made a device that couldn't be hacked, spied on, or altered.
Ensuring security, durability, and really access to all of the titles that they want.
Those 300 titles include a mix of fiction and nonfiction. The Navy ordered 385 of the devices at $3,000 apiece. Most of that sum pays for the content, but it's a big step up from the 25 paperbacks in submarines' current cramped libraries. I'm Dan Bobkoff from Marketplace.
By the way, we'll be tweeting updates on the FCC vote today. We're at Marketplace Tech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.